It's Alexis Svarbakatov from the Imperial College
of London. The afternoon.
Yes, in the afternoon. I'm sorry.
It's your second talk.
That's what I did say. And so he's going to talk to us today about Shimura curves and the Hasse principle.
Okay, thank you. So fortunately, Vintage has been giving a Bruce talk, so I need just to fix my notation. I'll be talking about Shimura curves in strict sense, not the Euler equations. So B is a Euclidean algebra on Q. Okay, I'll assume that if it turns out to reals, get a matrix algebra. Then discriminant of B is the product of all the primes such that beta of QB is not isomorphic to a matrix algebra. Okay, and now there's a reduced norm map from B to Q. Okay, and then, as Victor explained, if you let gamma be the set of, well, if fix an item order, or we call it OD, but whatever. All such orders are conjugates, so the rest of the talk doesn't depend on the choice. And if you let gamma be the set of elements in L, which have reduced norm equal to 1, you can treat this as a subgroup of SL2R because of this isomorphism. Okay, so I assume the reduced norm is 1, so that it is in the part of GL2 which has the term equal to 1, so this x on the upper half plane, and the quotient is a Shimura curve, so I'll call it x. Right, so this is a Riemann surface, but Shimura proved that it has a model which is a algebraic curve defined by Q, and I'll assume that discriminant is not equal to 1, so that B is actually a continuous algebra, it's not a matrix algebra, and then this is a smooth, this is a projective curve, so it's projective. Okay. Now here's a modular interpretation, as was explained by again by the previous talk, so it's a coarse modular space of pairs AI, where A is an embedding surface, and I is an embedding of O into the endomorphic ring of A. So. But it's only a coarse modular space, so if you have a point on the Shimura curve, then the corresponding embedded surface does have to be defined as of the residue field of that point. So there's the subtlety which. Okay, now. So Shimura proved that there are no real points on Shimura curves, so it doesn't make sense. Well, I mean, there's clearly there are no rational points. So if we're interested in rational points, the initial thing to consider is points defined on imaginary quantum fields. So let's. Let K be magical ring field, and well, D is a square free integer as usual. So we okay, we are interested in okay, so what can we say? We can all say about this set. Alright, so so this talk is not very original. I just most I'm gonna say is due to Bruce Jordan, who tried to, well, being motivated by Mazur's theory about Russian points and modular curves, wanted to generalize his methods to Shimura curves. So he proved, he published a very poor paper which somehow didn't seem to be much quoted, and I think it's unjustified. So partly in this talk I want to attract some attention to his quite beautiful result, I guess. So I'd like to state a theorem which is kind of nice and pleasant to state, which is not the most general, the most general form, but this way. So assume these congruence 2 or 3 on 4 next, assume that, well, a few assumptions. I assume that if I return the product with K, then it becomes as more into a metric algebra. So B is free by K. So maybe a little comment here that this effectively eliminates the problem that I mentioned earlier, because it's just a namely the problem that if you have a point on the Shimura curve defined in a certain field, then the corresponding unbounded surface may not be defined in the same field. So if this condition is satisfied, then those two things become equivalent. This is not the result of Jordan. Okay, so that's the meaning of this condition. And now suppose that the reduced discriminant D is divisible by certain primes. So this is fairly down to earth. So this is prime greater than 11, prime congruent to 1 over 4, and the prime congruent to 1 or 3, 1, 8. Now this may be. This prime doesn't have to be distinct. Maybe it's just one prime. Just find this condition. And then there are no k points on the curve. And theoretically, maybe before I say theorem B, I'll give an example to this theorem. For example, if d is equal to 39 and k in this field, then all the conditions are satisfied. So the corresponding Shimura graph has no points defined in this field. But what makes this example interesting is that in this particular case, the Shimura graph has points over locally. So as they say, this conference X is ELS. To check this is not, well, I mean, it's not obvious, but this is checked using results of Jordan and Lidney, who gave a necessary sufficient condition for existence of local points on Shimura curve of the periodic fields. So it's sort of straightforward to implement, and we conclude that there are points of relocative here, but not blocking. So this is a counterexample of the Husserl principle. Okay, and theorem B. Which is the result used by Victor Rogin Christoph. So I'm continuing just to assume that, well, it's very simple. So assuming that K splits B, and then again, this is assume that B is divisible by a certain prime. Well, it's fine, simple, you know, congruous conditions, which is inert in K. And there is this condition which Victor gave this talk regarding the class groups. So if there is no surjective homomorphism from the Ray class group of K of conductor P, so assume P is inert, so it makes sense, to the usual class group of K, direct product with the cyclic group of order squared minus smaller than 12, then again, there are no K points on X. And an example to this result is, well, it's given through a stock, so I just mentioned very briefly. So take this discriminant and this and this field. And again, this example you can check and you get a curve which is ever locally soluble. So it's again the counterexample of the Husserl principle. So the initial question which arises is, can one explain such counterexample of the Husserl principle which are obtained by this method, by the Brown-Meyer abstraction? So just one word about the Brown-Meyer abstraction, we'll hear more about this tomorrow. If you've never heard about this, maybe I'll just spend 5 minutes. I will not explain it in detail, but just say what it is. So the Brown-Meyer group is there's a shortest, but perhaps not very explicit way to define it, as a second stock homology group of X. But I'm not going to explain this, but the only thing I need is, if an object is defined using homology theory, it must be factorial. So this is a factorial thing, which means that if you have a morphism from y to x, you'll have a morphism from Brouwer x to Brouwer y. And so, using the global Glossfield theory and the functoriality of Brouwer group, we can define abstraction to the Husserl principle in the following way. First of all, we need a pairing between this set. So I'm taking the product of all sets of points in KV where V is the place of K. So I'm taking all the places of K, so all completions. And the Brouwer group of X. So I'd like to find a certain pairing between these two objects. So this is just a set, this is a group. OK? Okay, so what I'll do, take a family of points, PV, where PV lives in KV. And then by functor reality, so somehow a point, well, I mean, point is, well, in the tensor language, points is a there's a map of spectrum KV to X, well, just this is just a point, right? And so, by functor reality, if you have a point like PV, then you have a map from Brex to Brex KV. Somehow you can, by functor reality, can evaluate an algebraic group of the point, or pull back by functor reality, if you prefer. And then, the global possible theory says that there's a log invariant map CQ mod Z if KV is not a Euclidean, and there's a single map to group of elements if K is R. And in the complex case, the R group is trivial, so nothing to consider. And then, if you have an element of the Brown group of K, again, by functor reality, you can associate it the same as, for example, represented by a central simple algebra of K, you can tensor it with KV and get an element of Brown group of KV. Okay, so just a particular thing. So, and then you can take sum of all such things, and then sum of all the invariants, and you can summarize, well, some reciprocity laws in global possible theory by saying that this sequence is exact. Okay, so this is what global possible theory says. And so I now define this pairing as follows. Okay, so remember I have a collection of focal points PV, and if I take A of the Brown group, I can send it to the element of Q mod Z given by the sum of local variance of A evaluated PV. Right. Okay. So by functor reality, having an element here and an element and a point PV, I obtain an element of Brouwer group of KV, and then you can take a sum of local invariants. Now, to make sure the sum is finite, it's well defined, I need an assumption that X is projective. Okay. So this is the pairing, and then the Brouwer abstraction. Can be expressed as follows. So let consider the subset in this product. Consisting of collection of focal points orthogonal to the Brouwer group affects respect to this pairing. Okay, so in other words, such that the sum of these invariants is zero for any A in Brouwer group. So the crucial fact is that this subset contains the diagonal image of k points of x. And this is because of the exact sequence I've written down there. So if you start with a collection of local points, such that actually they come from one global point. So if instead of PVs I'm just taking one global point P, then evaluating A at P will produce an element of the Borel group of K. Okay. And because this is actually, I just need the fact that this is complex, so that sum of invariance is zero. Right. So this guarantees that the diagonal image of K points is actually in this subset. All right, so that's what all I want. Now, this is the Borel normalization in the following sense. So if this is empty, then clearly X of K is empty. Okay, so we say that the counterexample to the Hausdorff principle, so this is a situation when this set is not empty, but this set is empty, is explained by the Borel-Mann abstraction, is already this set is empty. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't write it down on the regular question. Okay, so now I'll go back to Jordan's theorems. And so there'll be a theorem A dash and B dash, which I essentially due to Jordan, you need a specific reading on this paper to prove these results. So theorem A dash, I just need to same conditions but slightly stronger conclusion. Alright, so instead of proving that this is empty, prove that this one is empty. And exactly the same thing with theorem B. So the main idea is to use descent. And then I'll first explain what sort of descent should be used, and then explain how descent is related to the Borel-Mann abstraction. So what I'm going to say is really an interpretation of this proof. I didn't really have to add much to it. So here's the idea. So choose a prime, ideally. Choose prime P dividing discriminant. Well, we recall that the primes dividing discriminant are precisely the bed reduction primes for the Shimura curve, corresponding Shimura curve. And then consider, instead of elements in O, such that the reduced norm is divisible by P. Now it turns out that this is a two-sided ideal of O. And example, Gaussian, when it's a maximal ideal, of course, field is filled in t squared elements. Okay, now I need to build another curve which will have, which will be an unrefined cover of my curve X. So before I do this, I need an auxiliary curve, which is simplest to describe in terms of the modular interpretation. So remember that X was coarse modular space with fine pairs, Abelian surface, and then inclusion of O into the endomorphism ring. Now, if I have such a surface, I can consider the kernel of the multiplication by this idea. Okay, so let's. Right. Then this is actually isomorphic to, well, as a group, this is isomorphic to squared. So it's isomorphic to all mod type E. Right. This is like multiplication by square root of P in some sense. Okay. And then consider a curve XT, which will be equivalent to natural morphism to X, natural forgetful morphism to X, which will classify triples AI and capital P, where P not equal to zero is in this final subgroup of the Abelian surface A. Well, I mean, that's fine. I'm saying this is, you know, up to isomorphism, obviously. In terms of Freeman surfaces, well, I mean, there's a subtlety here that in terms of Freeman surfaces, well, I may want to define this in terms of quotients of the upper half plane by certain arithmetic subgroup, but the problem is that this curve is not geometrically irreducible, so it's not absolutely reducible, it's only reducible of a key. Well, I mean, so an irreducible component, well, an absolutely irreducible component XP is the quotient of the upper half plane by gamma P, where gamma P is a set of elements in gamma which are conjugate to one modulus ideal. Right, so this is fairly simple, but this is not the right thing, this is not the right object, right? Because this curve will only be defined as a cyclotomic extension of Q. And so to get the right curve, well, either I need to use the definition using Shimura data, which I don't want to do, or maybe I'll just describe this in terms of this modular interpretation. Okay, so things simpler. Right, so this is the, well, this is the almost the curve I need. The trouble is that this is not, this covering is not unrefined. So I need to consider, well, I may want to consider the maximal lethal factor of this, maximal unrefined factor of that, which is usually called the Shimura covering. But to simplify things, I will do as follows. I will, well, let me first observe, which is sort of clear from the description, that this is a, this morphous here is geometrically Galois with cyclic Galois group for this, I need to assume that E is not equal to 2 and 3. Okay, so it's basically clear what's going on here. So there's P squared minus 1 ways to choose such a point P, and I divide by 2 because P minus P, such triples will be isomorphic. So, and then that was going on, so now it turns out there's a pretty easy calculation that if you mod out by cyclic group of order 6, then you actually kill all the ramifications. So this will be my unramified covering. Define y as xp mod z mod 6. So this is an intermediate cut here, and then the natural morphism from y to x is unramified. And it's Galois, it's a cyclic Galois covering with of order p squared minus 1 divided by 12. Now it turns out that this is actually a torsor under this group, so this is a stronger statement, but it's true. There's a torsor under this group understood as a K group scheme, so the group scheme of a K. So there is no Galois action on this group. Okay, so this is a typical, in this situation we can do descent, and the details may have been tricky when you're familiar with those sorts of things, but from now on, it's fairly straightforward. So we need to understand which twisted forms of Y have points over local A. And so the idea is to prove that, basically, since we need to prove the result that there are no points downstairs, we need to prove that no twisted form will have points over local A. So
why is that very usable now or not?
No. Right. So actually what I'll do, I'll prove the following statement that I'll call this G. So G will be the group scheme of a K, which has no Galois action, which is cyclic of this shape. And then if P is a point in X defined over some field K, which is an extension of little k, let phi P be the character by which
what is capital K? What is the capital K? P and
is
X
it
of
capital. Some extension of little k.
Okay, any at all.
Some field.
Okay.
Okay, so in this situation. This would be okay, by the way. Alright, so if I have a point downstairs and I look at the fiber, I will have a character, the Galois group of capital K with. So there's a homomorphism from Galois group K bar of K into G, which is cyclic group, by which the Galois group acts on the fiber. So I call this F. So by this I mean that if I take, well, I mean, in the usual situation, I mean, C plus K, when you do descent with a double covering, this is a quadratic field, this is a quadratic character, this is the way the Galois permutes the points in the fiber. So this, in other words, I can describe this as, I choose Q to be a point of fiber defined sort of a T-bar, then the action of gamma on Q, gamma is now the Galois group, is by this character. So because the point downstairs, because P is a point defined by K, the Galois image of the point Q will be the same fiber, okay, because this map is defined over, it is Galois equivariant. So the same, this point will be the same fiber, and therefore, because this is Galois covering, this will be the image of Q by the action of the Galois group. So we can check that this defines a character. So in particular, if I assume that my curve X has points everywhere locally, then each choice of a local point defines a character of the Galois group of the corresponding completion of K. So there's a collection of local points and this way I associate the family of see that the fact that no twisted form of Y has points over locally is equivalent to the following statement. I'll prove that for any term of local points like this, the family of the corresponding local characters do not come from one global character. There is no phi in such that all corresponding local characters are restrictions of this just one global character. Right, so this is exactly the same as to prove that no twisted form is possible locally. So this is essentially what I'll do, and then to conclude the proofs of the theorem, the only thing you need is to use the descent theory of Kolodin-Sansu, which is a theorem saying that once you are in this situation, you automatically then the counterexample has a principle automatically due to Brahman abstraction. So then gives the conclusion of the theorem. so maybe just a couple of words how to do this. So, and then I stop. So, I'll concentrate on theorem two because it's easier to explain. So, theorem B dash, I mean. So there are a couple of things to do before you. So the main thing is to show that, well, you prove by contradiction. You say assume such a phi exists, such a global character exists, and then, okay, if phi exists, it is unrefined away from P. This is due to the fact that, well, as I said, well, I think this is a geometric way to prove this. So P is the very bad prime, and away from this very bad prime, I mean, away from bad direction primes, this torsor extends to, you have to consider integral models, and then the torsor extends to a torsor of integral models. And actually, with a bit more work, I think you can do the same thing for primes dividing discriminant, which are distinct from P. So still prove that the extension of the Euler morphs occurs, and then this is just the schematic argument that this is easy. And Jordan does it a different way, but never mind. And because this is unrefined away from P, then you look at this exact sequence, which is standard global coupling theory again. So the ring class group fits into this exact sequence. So the
torsor is extends even over the primes where X is by reduction.
Yeah. So that's what I think is true. So
what is okay divided
okay,
by P or what?
Okay,
I mean,
okay is
the okay is I think clear,
okay,
but
is okay, so it's
what's the thing within the brackets?
What's on this?
It's just which is some ring, right? Some finite ring.
Okay, what about learning? How are the units?
Well, those are. This is some finite ring. This is.
So you're having an action of the unit group.
Oh right,
So it's not a subgroup that you're dividing out.
Well, it is not, but it's still fine.
You mean its image?
Yeah, I mean its image. So those are units, and this can.
You have an action which
So this is a forgetful morphism. So it's kind of stuff. Okay, now because of this statement one, which is kind of geometric, phi is actually can be seen as a character defined on the Rayquard group. So phi goes to this group, like this. And then, I mean, the delicate part of the proof is to show that this composition is surjective. Well, to do this, I mean, you really have to work. You're really used to the modular interpretation, so the proof is in terms of the Abelian surface. So this condition that K splits the algebra guarantees that a point can be represented by a surface, and then, well, I mean, there's a range of things you have to use. It's some potentially good reduction of Abelian surfaces with cogenerate multiplication, and it all boils down. So the crucial estimate is Reynolds theorem about finite formal group schemes. Right, so you prove this surjective. This is the key argument. And then, of course, you see how this condition appears. That there is no. So if there is, well, in this situation, we clearly have a surjective map from this class group to the product of this and that. And if we impose artificially the condition that such a thing does exist, then we get a contradiction. So that's how it's been proved. And theorem A begins similarly, so you have to use this fact again, but then instead of Reynolds theorem, we use congruences condition form, basically the veil conjecture form on Gibbon surfaces or finite fields, some such techniques. But it's a bit delicate. But this, I mean, I must emphasize, all of this is due to Jordan, so I'm not saying anything. I just wanted to give somebody some help. Thank you.
So are there any questions?
So that's something that I didn't understand from your talk, and I translated it a bit to this. So when you have a verified cover of curves, if downstairs the Brouwer mind instructs painting has a principle, it means that upstairs happens the same.
Yes. If you have a morphism from X to Y, and X and Y are projective, to make things simple. The bra set, X of A kilotable orthogonal to bra, maps into the same thing downstairs. So if the thing downstairs is empty, the one upstairs is empty.
Okay, good. And then there was also a relationship within, if you have this, the Brouwer instruction over one field and the Brouwer instruction over a extension field, is there a kind of relationship here? Or
yes, same thing. I mean, if you have it upstairs, you have it downstairs because again, you have.
Okay. So you have it upstairs, you have it downstairs, but not the other way.
I mean, no. To have it upstairs is sort of a stronger thing because you lose, if you allow larger field, then.
Okay.
So if you have it upstairs with one plus, with there's a co-restriction map at the level of the Brouwer group, going the other way around from the frontal way. Mm-hmm. So if you have the abstraction with some element in the Brouwer upstairs, you just take the co-restriction map with this element downstairs, and that's what you want.
Yes, and this is very good because with the results, this already explains, for instance, the example that you mentioned before, without using that there was a rank zero factor. Am I right? Because.
Not so sure.
No?
But
so
that was the quotient, right? I mean,
but it was another
type. I can do that quotient.
But it was another type cover.
But this, I think this goes the wrong way. I mean, if you have it downstairs, then you can get it upstairs.
Ah, but upstairs doesn't apply downstairs.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So, I mean, I don't know whether you have, I mean, if for this covering obstruction, the finite covering obstruction, if you have it upstairs for all the twists, then for some unified covering, then you have it downstairs. But this does not work for, if you just restrict to a Boolean covering. Because you have to compose to real things, and then the composed thing may not be a Boolean again. And the Boolean thing is equivalent for curves, it's equivalent to the Brouwer thing. So, I mean, maybe true, but it's at least not true for mind obstruction.
Mm-hmm. So, any other comments or questions? Okay, so let's thank the speaker again. And I'll just remind you, the next talk is at 4:45, so about 20 minutes from now.
Before you all move away, I just want to tell you that I have reserved a restaurant for tomorrow evening. I will cancel the dinner here for tomorrow, so if you want to get something ready, you have to come. The other thing that I want to remind you that tomorrow morning, the first talk will start 15 minutes later. I mean, it's not on the bed, but... We have to start this, or I have to start this on Monday.
So if you show up 15 minutes early,
well,
just wait. At least it's not the other way around.
So what's this dinner tomorrow? What's happening?